This episode and the entire run of the Simpsons One-Shot series is completely listener-funded through Patreon. We've just revamped our Patreon page and are offering more than ever to listeners, including exclusive series just for Patreon supporters. So if you want to learn how to help support this series and everything we do at NewsAz, check out our rebooted campaign at patreon.com/newsaz. Welcome to the Simpsons One-Shot Show. This is a series where we take a look at each issue of the Simpsons One-Shot Wonders comic line, one issue at a time. I am Matt, and joining me are my co-hosts, Karen.
Hello.
And Derek.
Hello, everyone.
This episode, we are discussing Duffman Adventures number 1. This was originally published in April 2014, and it's got, I guess you would call it, 3 features. Although I'm not sure how much we're going to talk about the one, but the 3 features it's listed, like in their marketing and advertising blurb, is Duffman Corpse, Are You Duff Enough, and Duff TV. This is one when I, the very first one I got, we'll discuss later in this series, but once I knew this line existed, this is the second one I got because Duffman, come on. I did not want to read this, especially with the presence it has at Universal Studios.
Is there a Duffman statue?
Yes. How do you forget that? Yes.
I don't know.
You've had your picture taken to it, next to it.
Yeah. I heard they had to take it down or put a black tarp over it last week. Sorry. It's the Simpsons podcast, not a place for political humor. I'm sorry.
But I'm ching.
No, this is the crowd, not for political humor, because it went over both our heads. Like, what?
No, I was very upset. It's like, oh, what did somebody do to it?
Yeah. That was the Jebediah Springfield one.
Oh, yeah, good point.
And Biggins offends a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's the verbiage. All right, let's get started. And once again, I seem to have drawn the short straw and got the longest damn story in this thing. But that's fine. That's fine. It's a fun story. This is, of course, I can't remember what it's called. It is the Duffman Corpse. So, we get just the opening before we even get a title. Well, actually, let me give you the credits quick. I'm sorry. So, Duffman Corpse, written by Max Davison, penciled by John Delaney, inks by Andrew Papoy, colors by Nathan Hamill. So, Nathan's back. Letters by Karen Bates and Nathan Kane, editor, of course, which I think has been running through the entire series. But back to the story. So, Duffman Corpse, we open up without even the title or anything yet, and we see a Duff can appearing into an existence. It floats its way towards Earth, and it goes into Moe's, and it stops at this blonde-haired patron at the bar, whose name is Kyle McKagan. Now, I know this is in the years of Simpsons where I've only seen some episodes and only once. Is that his name when he retires and Homer takes on? Do we learn his name in that episode, or is it from the comic? Is this just in the comic?
I think it's just in the comic.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe it's just the comic.
Okay, what is Green Lantern's name? Is it something like that?
One of them is Hal Jordan.
Okay.
This story is kind of based off like the Hal Jordan origin.
I was trying to remember if it's so it's kind of got the same cadence, but it's not this. It's not a similar name. Okay, I could not remember. I kept thinking Ryan Reynolds. That's all I kept thinking when I was trying to remember the Green Lantern's name. Could not think of the character name. Okay, so no, it's not a direct tie to that. Well, the story is a direct tie to that. But anyway, back to the story. The can. Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt. According to Wiki Simpsons, our source for all of our knowledge, Kyle McKagan is known as Duffman 2814 and the best Duffman in the world. And that's basically all they have, really.
Okay.
I think it was just based for the comic book.
Okay, so yeah, because the 2814, that's actually in like 2 more sentences of mine. So that is so this is a comic story, this name origin. All right, so the can stops in front of Kyle. He says, "Heed my words, you have the potential to party down." To which Kyle replies, and this is my favorite bit of the opening page, is, "Oh yeah?" Not the Duffman, oh yeah, but just the, oh yeah, uh-huh, okay. So the can opens up, and then Kyle instantly becomes part of the Duffman Corpse, and then that's where we get our title page. So now, Duffman, or as Derek just said, Duffman 2814, He was transported to another world, and he meets the guardians of the party, and these are bald blue-skinned guys wearing Hawaiian shirts surrounded by tiki torches, and these I definitely recognize from the Marvel Universe, and they actually finally made a Marvel cinematic debut in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, so now a lot of people would recognize these characters, more so than just the comic book readers. Did you see that movie, Karen?
Yes.
This is the people, well, you probably recognize it, that Stan Lee was talking to.
Yeah.
I should have checked if Derek saw this movie before I gave that spoiler.
I've seen it a few times.
I assumed Derek did. I'm just like, wait a minute, though. That might be a bad assumption, but I think I'm pretty safe. So he's been brought to the greatest party in the universe on the planet which is funny because it's like now that Swick just got inducted into the Mandalorian Mercs, that's like their, you take the H and Oya, O-Y-A, that's like their huzzah. So that was a little strange seeing, now that I learned that. And I knew Karen didn't know that one. That one I knew was going to be a spoiler to her. Or did you already know that, Karen?
No, that I did not know.
Okay, again, another safe bet. So the party, this is pretty cool. The party, a big pool, there's a bunch of Duffmans, and there's a couple, like, I guess, Easter egg Duffmans. There's the Kang and Kodos Duffman, which might be my favorite because he has a one lens sunglasses over his giant eye. But then the Zoidberg from Futurama in the pool is pretty good, too.
Yeah. Did you see the other Futurama?
The Nibbler?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw him later as I was making my notes, but I see him now as I have the page open in front of me. He's like, raising his can up into a toast. let's see. So the Guardians explain to Duffman that the Duff Corps brings choice beats and throws epic ragers throughout the universe, and they show him the source of their power, which is the keg of endless enjoyment, which is probably filled with trabopoline. Somehow there is. It's like, I actually did a measure. I just crack open the kegerator door and with the humidity in Florida, it takes about like literally 90 seconds for condensation to form. And that's how I measure how much is left in the keg. I did that a week ago and there was like, it was under the 1 gallon line out of the five, but I'm still able to pour out of that. So I think it is like a miracle keg, like this keg, because it does not seem to want to end. And I'm happy with that. I'm happy with that. I have no problem. So Kyle asks why he was chosen, and they explain that when one Duffman falls, the universe selects another. So naturally he asks what happened to the other, or the previous Duffman, his predecessor. They reluctantly explain, but they don't even really give an explanation other than he was seduced by a dark power, and then kind of have him change his mind by handing him a yard of beer. Kyle says he's not much of a partier, but the Guardians insist that the beer saw something in him. At this point, Kyle's training begins, and he is just utterly hopeless. He can't dance. He can't set up beer pong. He's just not a partier. So Duffman just about gives up. In fact, I think he himself gives up. He's about to throw his sunglasses and his hat into the party foul quitter trash can. And then all of a sudden, the trainer from the training sequence grabs him by the cape and starts just pulling him along, yelling, "It's him. He's back." And now we meet Kyle's predecessor. We get our first glimpse at Kyle's predecessor. And they start to tell a story of what really happened, that one day he led a conga line so massive that it engulfed all of Coaster City. The accident and the injuries drove him insane, and he swore never to party again and made it his goal to destroy the Duffman corpse. That's when we're actually now introduced to Kyle's predecessor, and his name is Venostro, and he's a purple-skinned alien in a green robe holding a glass of vino, which is great. I love the wine juxtaposition to beer parties.
Beer, yeah.
Especially once you've never actually visited Quint's house, but Quint's house is his bar is like the bizarro world of my bar, where it's nothing but beers as far as the eye can see. He's got like wine that would rival any state store in Quakertown. Jeez. So Venostro begins to attack the Duff Corps, first by changing the music over to freeform jazz. Next, he invites the Corpman's parents to the party.
Oh.
Yeah, right. And last but not least, the thing that'll end any party is running out of beer. So he starts draining the keg of endless enjoyment. So Kyle stops him with a not-so-fast Venostro. Venostro senses the weakness, the lack of party in Kyle, and tries to convince him to join him. Well, Kyle considers this for a moment before revealing that the Duffmen have shown him that life is meant to be fun and that the partying is what makes that happen. And with a mighty Duffman thrust, Kyle picks up a keg and proclaims, "Get out the defibrillator because Duffman is reviving this party." Oh yeah. And this is the point where I'm very upset that I can't even do a passable Duffman impression, because that really needs to be read in his voice. Smitty can do a good one. Maybe I can get him to record that and plug it in. So Duffman 2814's raw power revives a corpse, and in a double page, the party a double page image, the party resumes, and it also displays the Duffman core motto, which is, "Through flattest beer, when times get tough, my arm will be forever buff. Let those who chug inferior stuff beware my power, the suds of Duff." Oh, yeah. Venostro, sensing a feeling of defeat, retreats, or impending defeat, I guess you should say, retreats with the proclamation, "The party will end, mark my words, Duffman," like the whole "I'll be back," blah, blah, blah. Everyone congratulates Duffman, but Duffman knows that a true party animal knows when to rage and when to chill out, and now is the time to party, so the party continues. And in the very last panel, there's a little card that says, "The party never ends, but this story does." And that's where the story ends, obviously. So that is a Duffman Corp. I really enjoyed this, and I really do like the fact that it's Green Lantern. I mean, I made the reference earlier, but it's Duffified, and even though it's like this, I couldn't even imagine this fitting in. I always make like the Halloween Horror Nights comparison, or maybe like in just one of those experimental episode Elseworlds. I really couldn't see this ever happening on The Simpsons, but I still really enjoyed this. This was a lot of fun to read.
The Treehouse of Horror?
Did I say Halloween Horror Nights again?
Yes.
God, yep. Yeah. I keep switching those up between the two. That is hilarious. Yes, Treehouse of Horrors. I mean, besides that, I don't think could ever happen in a cartoon. But I really I enjoyed reading it. Like I said, I really enjoyed looking at it as well, especially with the Easter eggs. There's not too many more than we pointed out, but the idea of the taking the Green Lantern idea and making Duffman from all over the world, that was I like this. I like this one a lot. I say Halloween Horror Nights every episode, and you two are both silent, waiting for the other to talk every episode.
Yeah, I thought this one was fun too. I think it because of the storyline, it fits very well with a comic book, obviously, because Green Lantern is a comic book for those who may not have known. I don't know. But it's fun. I understand using a different name for Duffman, but his real name is Barry Duffman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just looked it up.
Wasn't there a point where his name was Gordon or something like that?
It could have been. I think he's had multiple names.
The actor dies, but the character never does.
Right.
Yeah. 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 But it's fun. I don't have much to say about it. I enjoyed it as a comic book story. I don't know the Green Lantern story that much. The only thing I've ever really known of it is the Ryan Reynolds movie.
Hmm.
So, oh, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, from what I understand, that's not the best to go by. If it weren't for Guardians of the Galaxy, I wouldn't have gotten the little blue-headed bald man reference. I'd be like, okay, I don't get right. that.
Yes, but. Yes. So it is. Okay, that's my kind of half point I made of that actually panned out in this episode. Yeah. And I'm looking at Simpsons Wiki as well, and now I see the line that says, "Duffman can never die, Only the actors who play him.
Yeah. That was the line. I think that was like the Super Bowl episode or something.
Could be.
I really enjoyed this one, too. I always liked Green Lantern. And it's funny because DC is really good about doing their animated movies. And they did a Green Lantern animated movie. And it's almost like the guys that did this issue watched that and just put Duffman over top of Green Lantern in every scene. Because it's very similar, the storyline.
I remember that one. My wife went nuts over it because Nathan Fillion was the voice of Green Lantern in that one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he'd make a good Hal Jordan.
He would, yeah.
I thought it was pretty true to the origin story of Green Lantern itself, except for the fact that it's beer. and I liked all the alien Duffman throughout the universe. It was an enjoyable story, and the fact that they had giant Jenga is pretty awesome.
I didn't even notice that. I gotta see that again.
Yeah, it was back on one of the earlier pages. It says top left corner says the Duffman Corp.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Yep. Didn't realize that was Jenga until now. I was probably like, what are they building? I don't care. Mix it. All right. Well, cool. So I guess the next feature was actually kind of wedged in between there in the physical copy. And that was the, what's the one they call it? Are You Duff Enough? Which is, we had this with the malevolent Mr. Burns one, too. It's another mask.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Duffman mask, and it has a whole bit here. It's like, are you Duff Enough in big letters? And it says, of course you are. Just cut along the dotted lines, attach a string, put on the mask, and start gyrating like there's no tomorrow. Now you're partying Duffman style. And then there's an asterisk. And then there's this ridiculously long, like, warning in the style of the Surgeon General warning that you get on cigarettes, or the warning. Surprisingly, I don't have a beer bottle in the studio at the moment. There's warnings on beer bottles now as well. And it says, warning, partying Duffman style may lead to euphoria, nausea, dyslexia, dyspepsia. Wow, this is going to be a nightmare for me. Dyspepsia, broken hips, loose lips, sunken ships, crackpot ideas, bimboism, missed opportunities, harebrained antics, questionable choices, dubious burritos, FARCICAL situations. Anyone know what that word is? Fraxial?
Farcical.
Farcical,
Jesus, yeah.
Christ, God. Thank you. Oh, that was terrible. It's way too early. Tattoo remorse, webbed toes, offensive odor, loss of focus, hocus pocus, spazzy out, vertigo, stratego, where'd my car go, water retention, diminished hearing, involuntary flux, loss of appetite, twister-related mishaps, double dipping, backbone slipping, disappointed family members, swimmer's ear, irrational exuberance, broken promises, repetitive stress disorder, inane observations, fashion missteps, dry mouth, potty mouth, mouthing off, memory loss, nonsensical ramblings, bad breath, Amazonian catfish syndrome, in parentheses, don't ask, half-baked opinions, blunders, bloopers, boners, flubs, and slip-ups. Did we say nausea already? You should consult a physician before beginning this or any other party animal regime. Please celebrate responsibly. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And alcohol will do that to you.
I can't argue with any of those, except
I've definitely suffered from where'd my car go more than once. You know?
I do question the fecal situations, or whatever that word was.
Farcical.
Yes. I remembered this time. I was trying to be ironic and save myself, but my reputation, but that's way too late.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. Well, that is actually, I guess that was kind of a feature by the time I read that whole damn warning. I mean, I read it as I was reading the comic, but not aloud. That's a mouthful to get through.
It's like more words than the first story.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's more words than the entire Maggie comic.
Yeah.
All right. So that leads to the third feature, which is Duff TV. So who's going to take us through this one?
That would be me.
All right.
Okay, so Duff TV by Ian Boothby. Jacob Chablat, Chab-ot, did Pencils and Ink. Our good friend Nathan Hamill is back again. Karen Bates and Nathan Kane. It starts out in an executive boardroom where a preppy looking guy with a ponytail, who I think we've seen in the episodes before, but I can't remember what his name is. I think it was like Nigel or something.
Something like that. Yeah, he's definitely recognizable.
Tells a room of executives that he's about to start the newest television network that's got no commercials whatsoever, but it's going to be extremely profitable. And one of the executives, who looks suspiciously like Rupert Murdoch of Fox fame, for anyone that might not know, asks, how do you expect to make any money if you don't have any commercials? And the TV guy says, we're going to do very, very tasteful product placement by sticking Duffman in every single episode. And since he's already employed by us, we don't need to pay him. I was confused by that. I was wondering if Duffman doesn't get paid at all,
right,
or if they just don't need to pay him more.
Yeah. I'm thinking more.
I would hope more. I'm hoping he at least gets a paycheck.
Yeah.
Or they just pay him in beer.
Or blimp rides, because he's been on a blimp a few times.
So the first TV show that we get is called CSI Duff. Duffman is in a grocery store with a police officer, and there's a man down on the floor. Duffman's going to figure out this murder because there's a cleanup needed in Isle Murder. He's got a crack team of investigators with him, starting with his psychic partner, who is a busty blonde lady who is apparently trying to figure out what's going on using mental telepathy powers. She feels a coldness near him, and Duffman explains, well, you are standing near the freezer, which was oddly insightful for Duffman.
True.
The next guy on the team is a writer who seems to be sitting at the cafe enjoying a beer, a cup of coffee, and Duffman asks for his help, and he's like, but I gotta meet my next deadline. And he resembles, for Christie's benefit, Nathan Fillion from Castle.
Right, yeah.
He goes to his next partner, and his next partner is a robot Sherlock Holmes. The robot Sherlock Holmes says, I have it, with a ding, and Duffman's all excited. You have the solution? And he goes, no, I have the latest update for my PDF reader. This should only take 4 hours to install, which is the point where I laughed the loudest at this entire comic. He goes to his final partner and says, what do you got, your bone specialist? And sure enough, his bone specialist is a dog who just says, rough. The cop that's working on the team, who doesn't look like any of our standard cops that we see in Springfield, says, I guess this will never be solved. And Duffman goes, of course it will. Look, he was trying to buy inferior beer, FUD, and it clearly fell and hit him on the head. Duffman informs him that he should have bought Duff. And he says, the cop says, oh, case closed then? He goes, no, officer, case open. Oh, yeah. And you just see all of the cops in the background partying with the Duff.
And the dog doing the Snoopy dance.
Of course.
Yeah.
We get a little box in the top right for the next story that says, we also have classy shows like Duffington Abbey, obviously a spoof on, what's that show called?
Downton Abbey.
Yes.
I only know that because Dave from Swick is a fan. I've never seen a second of it.
Me neither.
No. I thought I was going to get resistance from Karen. I'm actually glad I didn't.
No.
No, I couldn't even remember the name. Right. So we see a snooty couple of old-timey British people having a conversation and discussing the fact that their cousin from the colonies will be visiting today. You see what is clearly the butler and the maid are having a conversation, and there's clearly feelings between the two of them. But they can't do anything about it because it's just not proper. all of a sudden the door bursts open and Duffman comes bursting through with a nice little bow tie.
I didn't notice that. Wow.
He's carrying two kegs and he's like, who's ready to party? And then all of a sudden, all the foppish British people are drinking and partying. And there's apparently a hot tub in their living room. The butler and the maid are both in the hot tub expressing how much they love one another. The creepy old British people are butt grinding with one another. It's very weird.
Yeah.
And Duffman says, here's some advice from this dear Abby. Live life to the extreme.
What is he, Poochie now?
Yes.
Oh, God.
And then he has to go back to his home planet.
Yeah.
The final TV show that they show to the executives is something for the kids called Duff Tales. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Sorry. Force of Habit.
You can't say it without
the exactly. Woo-hoo. I was thinking it.
Force of Habit.
Yeah.
Derek just said what I was thinking.
So Duffman in this one is dressed up like Scrooge McDuck. And the three nephews come running in who are that little Eastern European guy that dressed up as Lisa at so one it point.
Is, yes.
Okay.
And I didn't know that there were three of them, but for this one, I guess there is. They come running in and say that the Beery brothers are trying to rob your beer vault. You see a giant Duff keg a la Scrooge McDuck's gold mine. And it's clearly filled with beer instead of gold. You get edgy, queasy, and surly saying that they're about to get ready to rob this place. I like the fact that Queasy, they're saying, I can't wait to get all that wonderful Duff. And Queasy's like, me either. My wife thinks I have a problem. Duffman's trying to figure out how they can stop him and keeps getting upset by the fact that he has to use this accent. He's not doing real well with the accent to the point where all he just keeps saying is haggis.
Haggis. Ugh, haggis.
We cut back to the Beery brothers who are using a laser drill to cut into the giant keg, to which Queasy, who seems to be the obvious one in the group, saying, if we had enough money to buy this drill, why couldn't we have just bought beer instead?
Right.
To which he gets a resounding, shut up. Huey, Dewey, and Louie and Scrooge are coming chasing after him. And Scrooge is yelling, did it? And he goes, oh, God, do I really have to use this accent? Well, the Beery brothers end up breaking in to the keg. And turns out it was the decoy vault, which was filled with glue. And the Queasy once again comes up with the obvious thing of, maybe we shouldn't have tried to do this while we were drunk. And he gets another shut up. If you see in the background, the decoy keg is literally next door to the real keg.
Yeah.
So how they didn't notice that there were two kegs and investigate is beyond me.
Oh, well, they're drunk. They probably saw four kegs.
Yes.
Do I need to read that warning again to you?
If I said yes, would you?
I would edit it in again. Farcical. There you go.
Hey.
I almost said fractal. That's not right.
Fractal.
Yes.
If you're drinking and you see fractals.
Yeah, right. You should really stop and probably go to the hospital. Yeah.
Yes. So after they've defeated the Beery brothers, they decide they need to celebrate by taking a dive into the beer vault. And he goes, I would be swimming with like Nessie herself. And the kids are all celebrating and thinking they were victorious. And they turn back to Duffman, whose bill has fallen off. And he says, the beers are burning my eyes and I can't swim. And one of the three says, don't forget to use your accent. He goes, forget the accent. I'm drowning. If I die here, the Duff Corporation cover up my death like they did with Duff McSudsy. Who was, I believe, a knockoff of Spuds McKenzie.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the TV guy ends up turning off the TV, turns around and goes, wait a minute. The entire room is filled with different people now. And he goes, what happened to all the TV executives? And he goes, one of the nerds, who all look like the nerds that Homer went to college with, says, in the time it took you for this presentation, people stopped watching TV altogether and were using the internet. To which the TV guy, to his credit, goes, okay, well, I've got something called DuffTube. And he opens it up and it's Duffman dressed like a cat saying, I can have refreshment?
Yeah.
The end.
Nothing like a dated meme to close out your story.
Of course. Well, you say dated, but what year did this comic come out?
Well, yeah, exactly. You're right. 2014. You know? It was fresh then. Yes, you're right.
I like this one. I thought it was funny. I especially like the Dufftales. I like the idea of slipping Duffman into all these different types of stories, and the random little cameos here and there. But in all honesty, if they had done an entire comic book of Dufftales, I'd probably enjoy that more. And I don't remember edgy Duff.
No.
Now I got to go
Greasy
to,
and Surly, but I don't remember edgy.
Now I got to go back to Universal and see what the topiaries say.
I appreciate you taking that hit for the team.
Oh, it's on Simpsons Wiki if you want to save yourself a trip.
No, I want to be sure.
Oh, okay. Because
anyone can edit a wiki.
Could be a typo. There could be a typo on the wiki.
Yeah, true. Exactly, true. Right.
It could be nonsense.
Yeah, we know that's true. I liked it for what it was as well. I mean, I think the strongest one was the Dufftales. I'm glad that the Downton Abbey one was just one page, because if they tried to make too many references to that show, it would have got old quick for me, because I would have no idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, I agree.
And the references in Dufftales were all spot on. The whole breaking into the vault and the laser, if we can afford this, why do we need to steal the money? The diving into the beer, of course. Family Guy did this too. I think it was Family Guy where Peter jumped into the a pile of gold coins and like just hit it like he hit a cement block and was all bloody and bruised.
Crippled yeah. himself completely. Yeah.
Yep. I love the fact that Surly says shut up all the time, because that is, when you go to Duff Gardens at Universal, they show all the clips that have anything to do with Duff. It's just clips of Duff over and over again. And one of them is the Surly bit with him and Selma. When Selma's like, I need to find my kids. And he's like, Surly only looks after one guy, Surly. And she goes, I'm sorry, Surly. He goes, shut up. And that's where the clip ends. And that is, I'm not going to say someone quotes it every time I'm there, but it is the one that is most quoted when I'm there. Like, you'll watch it, but this is the one that, like, I'd say like one out of three times I'm sitting at Duff Gardens, which is, you know, that's all happens in one day. Someone will recite that line as it's playing, and it's not always me. So that's
just going to ask, is that someone, the same one that says, remember kids, we parked in the itchy lot?
No, I should say along with me, perhaps, is a better way to say it. So that's one of the most quoted clips in the Duff Gardens reel at Universal. So I like the fact that they grabbed the shut up as a response to everything.
I like this one. I like this one better than the first one, because I got the references, especially in the CSI Duff. I used to watch all those scripted crime shows.
Oh, okay.
CSI, NCIS, all that. And everything that they put in there is almost exactly right with the psychic. And I mean, the author, it was a whole show, like you said, with Nathan Fillion and Castle. It was a good show. I enjoyed it. Not to put anything down with it, but all these references just kind of made me chuckle out loud, because I've seen them done, and I've seen them done well, and I've seen them done poorly. So it hit both spectrums. And I agree with the Downton Abbey. If it had been any longer, it would have just kind of been lost. But the Dufftales one, I have to agree with both of you that it is probably the strongest out of the three references, because it must hit all of us with some sort of nostalgia, I would think.
Yeah.
And that's probably why it resonates so much. But
we actually just watched the first episode of that new version of DuckTales that came out.
How is it?
It's really funny.
Is it?
Yeah. And what's his name? David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck is really, really good.
Right. That's ringing a bell, but I forgot that till you said that. Yeah, I might have to. I'm surprised Christy hasn't made me watch it yet. And hell, she made me watch Castle because it was the guy from Firefly. until I realized his name is actually Nathan Fillion. So I'm surprised you didn't make me not make me watch the cartoon with the guy from Doctor Who.
Give it time.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah.
That's how I saw Jessica Jones, whether I wanted to or not. Is that it, Karen?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Well, that leads into the letters page, which did not appear to be themed. I started reading the first one and realized it was just a, not even a letters page. Like, they're kind of their update page.
Yeah. It's like letter from the editor.
Kind yeah. of thing. Yep. And the it did have a stamp, and it's Surly, which I love as well. Number 204, Surly. Sorry, Surly. Shut up. And then we get a couple ads. There is an ad I wanted to point out to everybody that Free Comic Book Day will take place May 3rd, 2014. So be sure not to miss Free Comic Book Day.
May 3rd. Hey, I was there for May 3rd, 2014. Probably, yes, sure, right?
Yeah. Do you get the Bongo free for alls when you go to those?
Oh yeah.
Okay, because they pop up on the I have the Bongo the Simpsons, specifically the Simpsons comic app. And when Free Comic Book Day rolls along, it auto loads the Bongo free for alls, and they're fun. I mean, they're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, but they're still fun. I like them.
Right. If they weren't free, I probably wouldn't pick
exactly,
it up.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Okay. So who's going to explain the thing on the back?
I have it now in front of me, and I don't even know where to start. It's just I don't know what this is, and it's funny because that's kind of the joke at the end too.
Like, but I tried looking it up online and seeing if there was like a Simpsons episode I missed or, you know, like some weird cult thing that I'm supposed to know about. And I got nothing.
No. At the top of the page, it says, "We dare you to unravel the mystery of the seven Duff Septagon Suds." Were ancient civilizations onto something? Is this seven sided object a proven source of pure Duff energy? It must be. Come on. It looks like it's right out of the freaking Da Vinci Code. And what it is a seven-sided, which apparently is a septagon. I had no idea. Seven-sided shape. Kind of has a stone motif to it. And at each corner, leading into the middle, is one of the Duffs. Like, let's say we're looking at the very top corner, the peak, for people that can't see the picture. The top of the Duff cap is there, and then you go down and you get the character. And there's all seven of them. Duffy, Sleazy, Remorseful, Edgy, Tipsy, Surly, and Dizzy. And then there's lines stretching out to each corner on each one. So you've got like this seven-starred pattern behind it. And in the middle is another seven-sided shape that is, I guess, a hole in whatever this object is and a big question mark. And then under that, it says, "Unlock the secrets to the Septagon to banish inhibitions. Summon bold flavor. Regret nothing." And at the very bottom, to wrap this all up, it says, "Seriously, if you can figure out what all this means, let us know. We don't have a clue." So I mean, obviously, there is the punchline. What guy did they give this to and just said, "Hey, you know, go for it. Put on something and make a back cover."
Yeah. It's like Matt Groening had a liquid lunch.
Yeah, right.
He started doodling on a cocktail napkin or something.
I don't even know if I want to even attempt to try to bring it back to the warning and say that this is like an example of the bad ideas and about 15 other examples in the warning of the Duff Man style. And it brings it that joke full circle, because that might take a while to figure out, and more beer. I would need more beer for it to make sense to me. So
it could be a farcical situation.
A what?
A farcical situation.
Never heard
it's
of that.
It's
true. Word.
It's a good use of the word farcical.
I don't know that word.
it's an icicle, but you got to travel to go get it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh man. So, all right, that is it for Duff Man. So, overall, what did we think? And I'll start. I did like the entire thing, and actually reading a part, even actually maybe my word flub of farcical made it even better, but reading aloud the warnings made that bit funnier than it was when I was reading it myself. Highlights, definitely I would go DuckTales, then Duffman Corp, I don't know why I say Corp. I've done that my whole life. Duffman Corp. Actually, I'd probably put the warning in there, and then CSI, and then the Downton Abbey, and then the cover fits in there somewhere as just something odd. Altogether, it's not the best that we've done, and certainly not the worst. So I'm going to, I think, be, You know what? Yeah, I'm going to say 3.5. Not quite a 4, but damn close to a 4. But it's a solid 3.5 for me.
Yeah, I would probably go with about a 3, 3.5 as well. I enjoyed the first story just because I grew up a fan of Green Lantern, and you know the Futurama cameos in there were enough for me. You could put Zoidberg pretty much anywhere, and I'm going to be happy. And having to read that entire thing was pretty damn funny. And I liked my story too. Specifically, like you had said, I liked the Dovetails. Like I had said before, if they had done an entire book of just the Dovetails, it would probably be really, really funny to see how many Duff beer jokes they could fit into one story.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, I would probably say I'd give this a 3.
I kind of agree with Derek. I give it a 3. Slightly different reasons, though. The first story didn't quite sit with me as well as it did with you guys. Like I said, I'm not as into Green Lantern and comic stories as much, so I didn't get the references. It was fun. It's the whole origin story of Duffman. We keep getting different.
Yeah, that's true. Stories, yeah.
It's kind of like them redoing Spider-Man over and over again. We keep getting the same origin story over and over and over again. But this time, I mean, we keep getting an origin story, but it's different all the time. So it kind of gets annoying to me. But I did like the second story, the Duff TV, with the whole idea of the no commercials, but, you know, tasteful product placement where it's just slathered all over the place. Yeah. Kind of like we used to see in movies back in like the 80s, where you would be just nailed with product placement all the time. Made it kind of fun. So yeah, I give it, about a 2.5 until Matt read through that warning. That kind of raised it up to a 3, made it a little more fun for me.
I'm glad I could do that for this.
Yeah.
I like Duff Ben. What do you think, Karen made a very good point in a sense that we get different stories of Duffman all the time and they never match. But I don't care. Duffman's just one of my favorite peripheral characters of The Simpsons. They could tell an origin story every appearance and I wouldn't care because it's just, I don't know what it is about him because he actually represents, it's a ongoing cheap beer character. This is obviously like the Simpsons world Budweiser, but I think it's a great character. He's one of my favorites. What do you guys think of Duffman in general, apart from the comic?
Go ahead.
Okay. I like Duffman as a whole.
Okay.
And as a advertising mechanism. I think
sorry,
he's
guys,
fantastic.
The mailman's here.
That's okay.
ask him what he thinks about Duffman.
Yeah.
now I lost my train of thought. Generally, I like Duffman. Okay. I think he's a fun character, and I like when they use him on The Simpsons. It's just the origin stories that I'm getting kind of. It's like, just let him be
Duffman. Yeah.
Rather than giving it a story.
Yep.
Well, I think the thing that I like about Duffman the best is that he's always Duffman, and it's a rarity that you see him outside of being Duffman. You know, you would see if this were the real world, you would see a guy on TV that dresses up like a superhero and is covered in beer, and then you know that he walks off screen and takes off that costume and goes home and has a normal life, does whatever it is that he does. But it seems like you could be anywhere at any time in Springfield and Duffman could just happen to be walking by. And it's not like he's actually a superhero. He's just Duffman.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's just a dude that dresses that way and says, oh yeah, and likes to drink a lot. Yeah. You know, I mean, I've met some crazy people in my life, but I mean, that's right up there, you know?
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, that wraps up the episode, and like we did say, for anyone that isn't aware, there is a Duffman statue at Duff Gardens at Universal Studios Orlando. I'm not sure if there's one in Hollywood. I'm actually going to be there in 2 months, so I'll check. I haven't been there in like 2 years, but there's a Duff Gardens there as well. So I imagine there is. So there's a photo op. He's life size in a sense for a cartoon, which is a weird thing to say. He's as tall as a human, so you can get a good photo op with him. And the whole Duff Gardens is awesome. And the Duff beer, if you're a beer drinker, it's good beer. It is not a Budweiser like they kind of portray it in the show. Universal Studios made an effort to make it a good beer, not so hoity-toity for like super beer snobs that the average Joe wouldn't like it. It's like right in between. So I suggest getting one. Don't think you're getting a Budweiser. This wasn't supposed to be an ad for Duff Gardens. It really wasn't, but it seems impossible not to mention it in this in this subject. So, all right,
that'd be one hell of a sponsorship.
Oh, it would be, yeah, right.
Oh man.
So, all right, with that, I will say thank you for listening. We'll be back again next month with another episode. We're actually going to switch up the order a little bit. We'll explain why and what we're covering when we get to that. So, for more from this series and more from everything we do at NeoZaz, visit NeoZaz.com and our social media pages, which are NeoZaz Podcast on Facebook and NeoZaz on Twitter and Instagram. So, last thing for me to do is to thank Karen and Derek for joining me once again.
Of course.
Thank you. And thank everyone again for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.